Mayor Don McCormick, Kimberly gets increasingly interesting to me. We arrived when it was a little sleepy still and kind of scared, but it doesn't feel that way at all anymore. I have just recently become involved with the Kimberly Refugee Relocation Group. Mm-hmm. And we are calling it that to be as inclusive as we know how to be, that it's an entire community effort, mm-hmm. lots of different kinds of people. We're looking for ways to invite more people. And in a wonderful kind of way, it speaks to the Kimberly that I think in the Daily Bulletin you said something about we have reason to be optimistic, even mm-hmm. though there are other things happening. Mm-hmm. Okay, Christmas is coming and people get nicer and things slow down. But isn't there a general sense of forward motion?
Absolutely. I hear that comment an awful lot, Paula, as I'm out and about. And it is, it's true. You feel the vibe. You feel an energy level that I don't think was there 5 years ago. And I think part of it is a refusal to just think on the negative. I think what we're doing is we've got things happening in town, and whether it's the refugee effort, or a number of other different things that are going on. People are focusing in on moving forward with their passions, with their businesses, with life in general.
The other thing that caught my attention with the refugee issue is that there seems to be a sense it's more than just, okay, there was an event and that triggered something in September and now we're going to talk Syrian. This community has always, at least for a very long time, been open to that kind of people mm-hmm. in need. And the fact that this is a very current event, probably what, half of the CBC's The National in the last couple of days when they weren't talking about America and our guns, has been talking one way or another about the refugee situation in Syria. And it raises awareness about the fact that the world is just flooded with people who are displaced. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is it true that Kimberly is a welcome community, a good place to be? A refugee, for instance?
No, absolutely. I think, and kudos to the initiative taken on the part of the individuals and now collectively the group for looking at a situation that they can weigh in on and actually have an impact on. If you're listening to the news is going all over the place on this particular issue, and it's the news.
Right. If it bleeds, it leads.
Oh, seriously. and it's really unfortunate because I think it's to some degree instilling a sense of fear in some respects on people that is having an impact on logical thinking. And at the end of the day, what we have is we have a peoples, and it's not just Syria. I mean, there's many places in the world that are in a similar situation, but we have peoples that are, as you said, being displaced due to no fault of their own and in an extremely serious manner. And they need help. And the fact that we, as one of the many communities in Canada and the world that are opening our arms to try and do something about that or to provide some input, I think is fantastic. And it does, speak well of the intent of the community. But it's interesting because it's not just Syria or the Middle East or Africa. I mean, we also have issues like this in Canada. I mean, we aren't without our own issues in our own backyard.
Precisely.
And I think that a lot of the help and things that we do at home doesn't make the news. Certainly some of the issues do from time to time, but we get there's a lot more airing of the issues if it's international, particularly as it pertains to Syria these days because of that terrible civil war that's going on. But I think that there's an awful lot of good going on in our own country as well, and more that we can be doing here too.
It's also people lose attention when things go on for a while. I think the freshness of it, a horrible way to put it, is part of it. But because it is current and we're paying attention, I'm mm-hmm. hoping that it will also raise some of the other concerns that you talk about.
Absolutely. And I personally have noticed that in some of the, less publicized news stories that are coming out, whether it's in print or, whether it's on the radio or TV or whatever. So I think it is definitely having an effect.
And it becomes a positive feedback loop.
Yeah, very much so.
I was curious. I did some arithmetic last night, high-level arithmetic. I took the population of Canada and divided it into 25,000, mm-hmm. Which is the assigned quota right now, and then applied that to Kimberly's population. And it comes out to about six people if we're going to do, you know, our part in the media. And I think, you know, it's a scale that...
And that would be two families, which is kind of what we're thinking.
That is, it's a scale that is manageable, it is doable, and it's appropriate.
Well, it's also something we've done before.
Right.
You know, and I think it's it may not be fresh in people's minds, but the refugees that we've taken in from both Cambodia and Burma in the past were very successful initiatives at the end of the day. And those families, if I'm not mistaken, we still have members of those families that are in the community today.
And some have gone on to other places, all of which is good. It happens to be what I'm thinking about at the moment. And I know that there are other things going on. You talked in November, this being December, about the initiative with Cranbrook. Is there more to be said about the KCDI?
CKDI.
No, KC is
the Cranbrook-Kimberley Development Initiative.
We flipped a coin for the bringing the 55 plus Olympics or whatever they're called here.
That's right.
And Kimberley.
And it was Kimberley Cranbrook.
Now it's CKDI.
This one's CK.
Yes.
It sounds like a TV station. That's what it sounds like. So, so a month ago when we talked about that, we were in the we had just finished the meeting with the business communities where we outlined kind of what the vision was and that we needed to collect some money from the business communities to make it happen. So it was really early days. Since then, a business plan has been put together. Very shortly after that, as a matter of fact, in order to answer a lot of the questions that the businesses had before, they said, you know, $5,000's a lot of money. What exactly are we going to be doing with it? So there's a business plan that's been put in place. And in fact, a website has now gone live, version 1.0. There's still lots to be put in it, but...
Do you happen to remember its name?
CKDI.ca.
Great.
And it it does articulate, I think, the vision and some of the, certainly the high-level details around it. Lots more to come, but we'll also see an ad in Kootenai Business Magazine this month, a full-page ad that is aimed at rallying the business communities in our region here behind the initiative. Not so much, I mean, it would be nice if we had some additional businesses step up and say, I want to contribute to the cause and be
part of
the society.
It will be nice. Not just would be, it will be.
But it's for everybody else too, because this is not just, it's not a club that's being developed here. It's an initiative.
Great.
And it's going to impact, you know, the entire business community in the region. So,
and that's important in light of lots of other things, including some closings of some jobs that'll be lost and some things that are changing. And we're not doing Pollyanna here. This is the real world.
Absolutely. And this particular initiative is not short term. I mean, we're not going to, you know, produce jobs in the next 6 months. You know, we're talking probably a 3-year horizon at a minimum. And we'll probably start to see some results in the 3 to 5 year time frame, maybe even longer for some of the bigger initiatives.
Well, in some ways, I mean, as long as we've been here, for understandable reasons, economic development has been high on everybody's list.
At least talking about it.
And this, from my perspective, to look at it, this appears to be the focal point, the core driver. You're bringing, you know, you've got a substantial investment that is larger than it's going anywhere else. You're reaching out to the entire community, the business community specifically, but I assume you'd like everybody else to feel comfortable with what's going on with this.
And it's so not just taxpayer money.
No, very little of it's taxpayer money. The two municipalities each have put in $10,000 as seed money to get it started, and that's it. So out of the $500,000, which we hope to get to, including the matching funds, municipalities have $20,000 in there.
Is this a common phenomenon, or is this something that you and the other mayor and the other people involved dreamed up? And I say that because if it is relatively unique, it is a power. It by its existence is a powerful selling point.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not the first time. Well, I know it's not the first time. One very successful example of this having been done in the past is Minneapolis-St. Paul. Back in the, I may have mentioned this actually a month ago when we first started talking about it, back in the early 60s, previous to the early 60s, they were competitors. I mean, fierce competitors. And the very first initiative they did together was the Minnesota Twins Baseball Club.
Which is why it's called the Twins.
That's exactly right. And so, and it has gone on to be one of the most successful collaborations, certainly in North America. So, and there are some other examples, but it's not common. We have a confluence of things, I think, that have happened here that make this natural, not the least of which is our proximity, mm-hmm. number one. Number two, the current makeup and cultures of the two communities are complementary, mm-hmm. not really competitive. Mm-hmm. And that includes from a business point of view in addition to, you know, other things. The third thing is the size of the communities. I mean, even at 20,000 people, Cranbrook is a very small community. And by combining our resources together in the region, instead of them having 20,000, us having 7,000, we actually, with the inclusion of the RDEK in Area E, we have about 35,000 people in our area. You can also stretch that out a little bit to include Canal Flats.
Yeah, the Columbia River Valley.
Yeah, I mean, if people in Vancouver and Calgary and Toronto, et cetera, can commute 45 minutes to work, do the radius 45 minutes
traffic
around here, exactly. So this is much broader than even just Kimberley and Cranbrook.
That's
I believe
good to know.
You know, at the end of the day, but we have all of these things that have come together, and I guess the fourth thing and the most important thing is really the vision and the commitment that both Mayor Pratt and I have to making this happen. Our backgrounds are in business. Our backgrounds are in sales. We know what we need to do to make this happen. And we are trying to articulate that in the form of the business plan and provide the kind of leadership we need to in order to rally the business community to make this happen.
Are both councils thoroughly on board with this? I mean,
they are. Absolutely.
Anybody
they are.
Dragging their feet?
Nope. Not at all. I think they are enthusiastically behind it. Without a doubt.
I saw something this morning about a revival. I think it was probably in Eno, a revival in the Platzl.
Yes.
Where I'm from, that would suggest preachers in prayer and song and all sorts of, you know, yeah. occasional snake handling, those
oh,
kinds
Bill.
Of things. I don't think that's what they're talking about, but it seems like, you know, that's sort of coming the other way back on what you're talking about.
Yeah. So what we're attempting to do with CKDI is a little bit different from what has been happening in our retail downtown areas, both the Platzl as well as Marysville. Mm-hmm. And if you drive through Marysville these days, that's a pretty vibrant downtown area down in Marysville. And the business owners and the merchants down there have done an amazing job of doing what they've done off and very much under the radar compared to the Platzl. You know, it's always been a longstanding observation, I guess, is that, you know, it's Platzl, Platzl, Platzl. But at the end of the day, number one, we have a much broader downtown area. There are about 45 businesses thereabouts in the Platzl, about 75 in the downtown area. So it's much bigger than just the Platzl. And then we have the downtown area in Marysville, which is a very vibrant area as well.
Which is part of Kimberley and has its own distinct personality
yep,
as well.
Absolutely, which is a great thing, absolutely great thing. The industry that is emerging down in Marysville right now is that of health and wellness. If you take a look at all of the health and wellness businesses that have cropped up, they seem to be finding Marysville as their home. Although we do have some in the downtown area, it's become a concentration down in Marysville. So I think from an overall marketing point of view and a future health point of view, we've got some great opportunities down there to grow the things that are happening in Marysville as well.
Well, and it's complementary to what the other initiative is doing.
Thank you for bringing me back to that.
Yeah.
I segued there a touch. So what we're trying to do with CKDI is to build for the future. So our retail community and our business community, which is primarily retail as it exists today, is really geared up to cater to tourism.
Because you know, we are a resort community.
Absolutely. And that's where kind of the economic well-being of the community is dependent on tourism today. What we're trying to do with CKDI is to diversify, to build more of an industrial, tax base from the municipal point of view, but business from a general point of view so that we have well-paying jobs. The whole core is jobs and different jobs than we have in the service industry. And so the two will not only complement each other, but new jobs and new families and new home construction will also fuel the revival that, you know, has in fact been underway here for a few years now.
And go ahead, Bill. Sorry.
This brings me to something I've been trying to get to and threatened to get to for months, which is the demographics of Kimberley. Mm-hmm. My impression is that there's the longtime inhabitants who were essentially came up through the mining mm-hmm. environment, the company town.
Four generations.
Yeah, and that there's another substantial part of the community that are essentially intentional inhabitants who came here.
That's after us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm curious about, you know, what the balance is of that. And then there's the Calgary contingent mm-hmm. going back particularly mm-hmm. to the boom in former boom in oil. How long have people been here? What's the age breakdown? What is the demographic base that is our future?
And what do we know about it?
Well, I guess there's another piece to that demographic, one that has been growing quite substantially in the last few years, and that's the influx of I'm going to use the term remote workers. And I'm not talking about Fort McMurray or the mines up north, because we've always had some of that. I'm also not talking about just the tech workers that have decided to work remotely from Kimberley. I'm talking about people who have moved to, or who in fact, for whatever reason, are working in Cranbrook and have chosen to live in Kimberley, which has really fused the two communities together over the last 5 years or so. This isn't something that's happened overnight, but all of a sudden we see it. And it creates an opportunity for us to do things like CKDI and other initiatives, which I'm sure we'll be doing together as a community, when you've got people with vested interests on both sides.
So back to the specific question, what do we know about the demographics of the city?
Being able to
I'm not asking
talk
you
about
to,
the specifics.
No, but I mean, for instance, can I go to the city's website and find out who is where and what the alpha beta?
Well, I think what we see in the statistics is the old Kimberley, mm-hmm. kind of the retired mining generation, which is as many as four generations, still represents the majority of the population in Kimberley. It's the silent majority. Mm. You tend not to see or hear it an awful lot, particularly the Marysville contingent. Mm. Folks from Marysville are almost closer to Cranbrook than they are to downtown Kimberley. So what we see is I think a silent majority there. And on the other side of it, we've got the other couple of demographics that you talked about who are the more vocal minority. But they're also the new business owners. You know, there are people that have moved and they've moved here and have set up either retail businesses or businesses in the last, 5 years or 8 years, certainly some of them more recently. And what a lot of people refer to as the recreators, the folks who are heavily involved in things like, the Kimberley Trail Society, and a lot of their fueling the building of the amenities, the outdoor amenities we have that are very much tourism oriented.
And heavily dependent on volunteers.
And they have a volunteer base that has insatiable energy. It helps to be 20-something and 30-something to do that.
Right on!
But I've been out on a couple of work parties and observed, and these are extremely passionate people about, their sport. And the things that they do out in the recreation area.
Before we run on out of our 1.5 minutes left, the municipality. I talk about it being a resort community because that is a very specific designation and that has all kinds of implications, some of which we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. And all of them at the moment are dependent on water, mm-hmm. which gives me 90 seconds on how's the flume coming?
Okay. I wish I could tell you we're done, or next week we're going to have the grand opening. There's still quite a bit of work to do down in the southern portion down by BJ's. It got slowed down considerably when the freezing weather hit. There was still concrete to be poured, and you know, so we have to do things like hoarding and warming, and it's just taking more time. I think the latest estimate is end of December. You know, in the next 30 days or so, we have Christmas in there, and you know, having a look down there, I'm not sure I'd bet that by the end of December we would be out of it as of yet. But
we know that it has to happen, and it's happening
before freshet. We're in deep trouble if we don't have it done by freshet. It is. Things are progressing as quickly as they can. Everybody observes and comments on how spectacular everything looks on the north side. We know that's what it's going to look like on the south side when it's done. And I think there's a real enthusiasm and a general energy around getting that project complete. And believe me, no one more than I wants to see that completed.
Is the disagreement between the city and the contractors a polite disagreement?
It's a contractual disagreement at this point. In other words, not so much a contractual disagreement, but you know, they want to extract more money, and we don't want to pay any more money.
Because you have a contract.
Because we have a contract. And you know, at this point in time, we're treating it as a change order request. We're going to look at the details. If there's anything in the change orders that are legitimate, then it will go on and we'll pay for that. But if it's not, if it's just simply we want more money, or we're not going to be benevolent on it. Let's put it that way. We're going to be pretty hard-nosed about the money that we're paying.
It's a business deal.
It is, purely.
Since it's partially my money, the calendar hasn't changed. And that there would be freezing weather in late November is not a surprise.
Right.
Frankly, I'm surprised that there's any claim that there should be more money spent.
Yes.
You are too.
Yeah. No specific. You know, again, you know, I think that we had one of our most spectacular falls in terms of weather that we've had in recent memory.
Right.
That's number one. Secondly, whenever these contracts that are going to run into the fall period are there, contractors always build in weather as a possibility. It's always built into the contract. So again, you know, without judging, you know, whether it's legitimate or not, you know, we're going to be sitting down and having a very hard look at what the requests are, and you know, we're going to be very tough on the decisions that we're making on that. I can't really say much more than
that. As a taxpayer, I want to say thank you. And as a citizen of Kimberley, thank you for your time. We'll see you in January. Have a happy holiday season.
Thank you, Paula. Likewise. Always appreciate the time.